Randy, how's the time machine been coming along?
Oh, Lily, it's perfect. I just finished it, and now we can revisit every episode of the podcast.
No, we can't. Doesn't the universe collapse if we revisit ourselves?
Given the state of the world, would we even notice?
Oh, I'm going to ignore that. But we can go back to find out what our guests said when we asked them what they do to get better in their role without a time machine.
I love when we do these episodes. You know, our guests are generally pretty experienced, so there's some great advice in this episode and some very practical tips. The Product Experience is brought to you by Mind the Product. Every week on the podcast, we talk to the best product people from around the globe.
Visit mindtheproduct.com to catch up on past episodes and discover loads of free resources to help you with your product practice. You can also find more information about Mind the Product's conferences and their great training opportunities happening around the world and online.
Create a free account on the website for a fully personalized experience and to get access to the full library of awesome content and the weekly curated newsletter. Mind the Product also offers free Product Tank meetups in more than 200 cities. There's probably one near you.
A lot of our guests mentioned journaling as a great way to improve. When journaling, you're writing down your thoughts on a daily basis, and the act of writing is as important as the thinking and helps you to fully process your experiences and reflections. Developing self-awareness and encouraging feedback was also seen as really important. Here's what Andrew Scottsco, Alex Watson, Kex Uson, and Daniel Stillman said.
I don't know that I have anything original to say here, but I just write a lot. I am one of those people who has to kind of write to think. So I'm constantly journaling and kind of reflecting on my own, whatever I'm doing. So, I mean, that's one way of saying it. But the other thing you could say is that I'm kind of always doing a very simple retro on things, like after, you know, after an important meeting or a presentation or a pitch or whatever, you know, I'm always kind of asking myself, okay, what worked? What didn't work? What was missing? What did I learn? Right. And I think if you just constantly be asking those four questions, it's hard to not get better at whatever the thing is.
For me, I think self-reflection and taking a moment to process your week at the end of the week is really important. So book out some time on a Friday and just note down some things that have gone well, like capture those wins. Maybe it's as small as like a great email or a meeting that ran exactly as you wanted it to. Maybe it's a test that came back that was fantastic. Then, you know, be honest with yourself and think about the things that went less well or that just, you know, came at you and were confusing. So we dropped the ball on this. This didn't quite work. This isn't working out. You know, have those, be honest with yourself about what's not clicking. And then just note down a couple of learnings from the week. What did you come to understand this week? And pretty soon, if you do that at the end of each week, firstly, it's really nice to have that moment for yourself. And secondly, you'll build up a really good sense of what's affecting you negatively and positively, and you'll be able to build on those lessons and improve the way that you're performing in your role.
Get feedback. That's one. So getting feedback from people that you're working with, but also self-awareness, because not all feedback will be useful or actionable. So understanding where you are and how that feedback actually fits in your gaps that you know of. That's two. And also action. So just try to do something and see what happens after, what the results are will also help understand where do I need to get better? What do I need to learn next? But the worst enemy of getting better is inaction or analysis paralysis or fear. All three.
Yeah. Step away from it on a regular basis. Just, I try to journal on a regular basis. I take time in the mornings to, before anything else happens in the day, to just write what's on in my head, right? Julia Cameron calls this morning pages. It's a classic way of just saying, what's been going on? And what have I been trying to do? And what am I intending?
I love that stuff. That's really, really good advice. We also had a bunch of guests who like to seek inspiration from elsewhere, whether it's different companies or completely different activities like free diving. Our guests look outside their day-to-day for inspiration on how to change and evolve the way that they think. Here's what Mel McVeigh, Lucy Boussin, Daniel Stillman, Tanguy Cruzan, Lea Taran, and Ben Foster said.
To improve my own practice, like, I try and absorb, you know, things around me, but often I try and go outside of the product world. So if I'm trying to improve my practice, particularly around kind of more creative, it's like, how do I improve my storytelling? How do I improve my explanation so that people can kind of understand? Because I work often at the strategic end where ideas are still a bit fuzzy. So it's about how do you convince and, like, you know, help create that change culture. I also go and, like, explore, like, lots of different, you know, arts and festivals and stuff, because then it kind of ideates around process and practice. On the more business side, it's often about, like, spending enough time to understand the things that I don't know. So over time, building up knowledge about finance, how, you know, how budget, not so much now, but how budgets are done, how you do forecasting, how do you understand revenue? Because ultimately, if you're working on a revenue kind of generating product, you really need to understand that to optimize for it.
I'm curious, you're also a photographer. Have you ever brought anything from that world into your practice?
Always. So a lot of the work that we're doing at the moment to kind of teach teams about the role of creative is we've been taking them on photo walks and kind of getting them to imagine telling stories without words. So I do bring that out. And also, as many of my teams would say, my presentations are pretty good because I can tell a good story visually. So I don't need a lot of words to express meaning. So educating teams on how to do that so you're not filling slides with 1,000 words, but really crafting a message, I do bring that into my day-to-day practice.
I would say, if I had to say only one word, as a curiosity, I think we have to stay curious. So I try to read a lot about product management. I try to listen a lot of podcasts around how companies are funded. You know, because I think other stories or other people's stories are so inspiring about how you can think about your own challenge and how you can think about your own team. And I don't know, it's really funny. Like every time I'm listening to someone else's story, it gives me so much ideas, you know, about how what I can change in the team. So I would say really, like, stay curious and look at other people's stories.
Go on retreats or educational experiences in parallel fields. Like, go and learn something from someone that knows something that you think you could bring into your work and try to remix some of that perspective into your work. That's such a powerful way of just don't do your job all the time. Step away. Reflect and learn, invest in that.
So I mentioned before I do breath hold diving, and breath hold diving is this thing where you take a breath and you hold your breath for a while, and then you get to 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. The world record is like 12 minutes at the moment, I think. The way you get better at this is by accepting discomfort and progressively becoming more and more used to it, and being able to operate with that high level of discomfort. So I apply the same thing in most of the things I do in life. I've got lots of passions, free diving, rock climbing, yoga, kitesurfing, and so on and so forth. It's the same in product. I put myself in places where I don't know. Generally, I'm out of my depth, and that's really how I learn. Whenever I get to a place that's really comfortable is when I start thinking that it's time for me to move on. So that's basically how I've been growing, as a PM, which is trying to always find those areas where I'm like, yeah, I need to go there, which is actually why 3 years in, I'm still on this product, because it's getting successful. It's scaling and scaling and scaling. I really have no fucking clue what I'm doing those days, but right. It's about asking the right questions and then trying to find the answers and working with people on that. So for example, right now I'm trying to hire product managers and, you know, I haven't always been successful at that, but now I have to do it as a job. So I have to get better at it. And then I surround myself with the people who can help me.
I started to mentor others, advise companies, and consult, because it puts you into a very uncomfortable space at the start, because you certainly have to perform for other people's problems. but at the same time, you also learn their context. And I always felt this incredibly valuable to also bring back into my own job, because you're suddenly having four jobs, right, without having to actually work four jobs. That's how I actually improve myself all the time, by improving other people's jobs.
When I started advising companies, I thought that I was going to be the one to be teaching everything and that everybody else was going to be learning. And the amazing thing was, just by talking to companies, by getting more data points and seeing how different companies operate, I felt like I was really the one who learned the most. So my recommendation to everybody is, get out there, talk to other people in different kinds of organizations, figure out those kinds of things that work for you, and you'll be amazed by all the things you pick up along the way.
As you know, I'm a big fan of freediving. And on that same theme, let's talk about getting out of your comfort zone. So if you're not feeling a bit awkward, then apparently you're not learning. This is the position many of our guests take, and you need to get yourself out of your cushy role and do some things that are new and a bit scary. I wonder if Liz Clough, Dave Martin and Kirsten Mann found our interview scary.
Well, I move from different size organisations, so I try to challenge myself and work in, you know, every role I've taken has been different, whether that's a different industry or a different size of company, because, you know, it pushes you out of your comfort zone, and that's, I love the challenge of that. Outside of that, I, you know, there's so much to continuously read and watch and listen to, of course, about being a product leader, about being a product manager. And I have to stop myself kind of spending too much time on that, because, you know, there's so much material out there. But that's what I do. And, you know, I love learning more and more about product management. It's never ending. So I just embrace it all.
You can, of course, if you want, just listen to the podcast nonstop.
Indeed.
As long as it's our podcast.
Yeah.
Well, to improve my practice and get better at my job, I focus pretty much on comfort zone. If I'm not feeling a little uncomfortable regularly, it means I'm not getting any better. So I've got to make sure I'm pushing myself out of that comfort zone. Otherwise, we're staying stagnant. I think that's probably the most important of all. And to help with that is about being vulnerable, asking for feedback, asking for help from people, and, you know, accepting that support as well as asking for it.
Yeah, I've, and again, this has changed. I think it changes at different stages in your life and career. And early in your career, you're thinking, skills, I need skill. I haven't done that. I want more experience of that. I haven't done that. I want more experience. I think as you get more comfortable in the product skill set, it's about, you need to start to do things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable or that you're a little scared about. And so I really actively think about what I'd not feel great doing, or what I kind of try to avoid and get other people to do because I'm not as comfortable. And doesn't mean that I'm going to become the guru of that or anything, but it's usually I want to kind of play that into testing me in some way as well. So I'll do little hacks around that and think, okay, just take on this challenge and just cut it down, like do little bits and tackle away at it. So recent example for me was I'd been putting off certification around boards in terms of doing what's called in Australia Australian Company Directors course. And part of it was I'd heard it was really hard. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go through this. And just time intensive and I just thought, you know what, you're a little bit scared, you've got to do it. And how do you approach it? Just cut it down. I tackled it in little bits. I got with a really smart study group and who were quite nerdy and great, and just got through it right. So do things that scare you, I think, is the best way for you to improve yourself.
It seems like you just can't breathe these days without hearing the term AI.
Tell me about it. If I hear someone say AI one more time, I'm going to scream.
When ChatGPT launched, it felt like things absolutely snowballed, and it's quite an effort to keep up with it all, which is why I wanted to tell you all about Mind the Product's brand new AI Knowledge Hub.
I told you I was going to scream, didn't I? But actually, tell me more.
Please don't scream. It's a dedicated place for all things AI, with a wealth of completely free content from voices in the field, including insights from working product managers and AI experts. In the AI Knowledge Hub, created in collaboration with Pendo, you'll discover a range of free resources that will help you delve into the world of AI. You can learn what AI truly is, explore its impact on product management, and dive into extensive case studies that showcase how product teams have harnessed AI to improve their craft.
Okay, there'll be no screaming this time, because that sounds like a good way to actually explore the angles of AI in product management. Is there anything in particular you'd recommend?
Absolutely. Sign up for a free AI webinar, download the free AI playbook, and take the brand new AI for Product Management online course in partnership with Google Cloud. Just visit mindtheproduct.com/AI Knowledge Hub and dive in.
Ooh, you know what puts me out of my comfort zone is offering practical, actionable advice. But some of our guests were really good at that, and it's always good to have things that are practical, specific, and actionable. So that's why we love these tips from Itamar Gilad, Manon Dave, and Amy Wagner to develop yourself and your expertise.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm using my own system. Just this is not a promo. This is real. Once a year, I do my goals, quasi OKR-ish. I look at my top ideas, where I'm going to invest, and I try to ask myself if they're going to have the right impact and how sure I am that they're actually working. The book was one of them, by the way. Way over invested the idea, but I was committed. And I try to see what are the next kind of steps to validate that some of my big bets are actually working. So as nerdy as it sounds, I'm actually building my own product on myself, in a sense.
That's a nice, strong vote of confidence in it, too. Someday I may have to see if you want an accountability buddy and do it with you. We'll see.
So I know we spent a lot of time talking about all the stuff I do outside of the field of product, but I think inside product, I mean, there's no substitute for, you know, just using stuff. I really am a believer in the fact that we are consumers first or users first, depending how you like to look at it. So I just really, really, really enjoy, you know, scanning, for example, the top 40 or top 100 apps or whatever it might be on the App Store, downloading and playing with stuff that I've never used before, or jumping on the bandwagon of the latest trends and really going down a rabbit hole and using stuff until I break it. That's honestly the way that I learn about what's good and bad, in my opinion.
I genuinely thought you were going to say that there's no substitute for listening to Lily and Randy's podcast.
Well, I didn't want to I don't want to fangirl out here today, but obviously I need a signed copy of the vinyl press that I'm sure you'll be releasing.
So one thing I do regularly is attend meetups, and I also go to at least a couple of conferences a year to hear about other people's experiences. But I think I get the most out of pairing with someone else and someone different every now and then. So last year, working for a big private software development company, I brought in a colleague to help me. It was like a sort of subcontracting type relationship. But pairing on solving some of their problems together, it just really felt like I was just getting some other insight from someone else. It just made everything that we were recommending to this organization better. And again, more sort of like diverse thought going into it. So pairing with someone else every now and then, I think is a really good way of progressing and moving forward with your skills, because everyone's learning all the time, aren't they? And it'd be great if you could just borrow everyone's lessons all the time too, wouldn't it?
Of course, I'm a big fan of pairing, which is why I was so happy to join you, Randy, pairing on the podcast. And we couldn't do a series on developing yourself as a product manager without mentioning, of course, all of the resources that are out there. Reading, podcasts, articles, conferences, it goes without saying that product people are definitely a bunch of bookworms, and a lot of knowledge and perspective can be gained from reading. And our guests also love to listen to podcasts and talks for learning all the tricks of the trade. Let's hear from Tobias Freudenrich, Erica Jorgensen, Dr. Jay Harrison, Vishal Kapoor, and Omar Salam.
So I personally do listen to the Product Experience podcast, for example, and I go to conferences like the Product at Heart conference here in Hamburg, the Mind the Product conferences for sure, and the Product Tanks. I have the pleasure of being co-organizer of the Product Tank here in Hamburg. So I listen to inspiring talks and I speak to people a lot. I also do read books for sure, but I'm not the fastest reader. So I prefer speaking to the people who write the books, if that's possible.
Me too.
Yeah. Always be learning. I'm always reading by, you know, like I mentioned, David Dylan Thomas. I'm always looking on LinkedIn for people to follow and to learn from. And yeah, just read about the world, read poetry, read.
I read a lot. I spend a lot of time reading and looking at where things have gone wrong. So there's a couple of newsletters that I read. Matt Levine on Bloomberg is incredibly good. I listen to a number of finance podcasts as well. That really helps me understand where the wider market is going, where technology companies are going, where they've gone wrong. One of the interesting ones from, I think it's the Pragmatic Engineer, is also quite a good newsletter to read. They've often got really good breakdowns as to what happened inside a technology company. Also, reading Hacker News and stuff like that is always good for kind of picking up on new things that are coming through, some of the ideas that people are playing with. So for me, it's a lot about just reading and looking for those inputs. But I am somebody who's driven by taking in information and analyzing it is kind of like my happy space. I'm not going to discuss court documents here because I think that that's going to get a little bit too geeky.
Okay, we'll end it there with all the intrigue.
I try to read a lot, personally. I am a big fan of learning from people who have, you know, tread the road before me, you know, stand on the shoulders of giants. I'm being a little corny, but I love reading from other people's experiences. And I think one of the things that I constantly remind myself is, and this is something that I candidly, it took me some time to learn in my career, but it was a huge unlock for me. One of the things that I learned was it's more important the people that you work with and the relationships that you form along the way are more important, in my mind, at least in my belief, than the actual work you're doing. Because guess what? Problems change, but people don't, right? So think of crypto, for example, right? It's going through a rocky period right now. I mean, I would argue that all of fintech is going through a rocky period right now. But guess what? You know, the people that you work with, if you were in that industry, the people that you work with, the relationships that you form, you know, these are the people who will go and solve the next problem tomorrow. They'll build ChatGPT, they'll build something else. So that is more important, preserving that, you know, respecting that, looking at your peers, not always looking at your peers as a zero-sum game all the time. Life is not about competing 24/7. It's also about collaborating and finding that way to influence others and to win together. So I remind myself constantly of that. And, you know, that's something that I try to grow every day as I go.
So I always try to seek mentorship from everyone around me. Of course, I try to take feedback, but I always try always to seek who can I reach out to give me some mentorship and some coaching about something that I still don't know, or even something that I'm doing, but how to do it better. And of course, continuous reading, trying to understand everyone's perspective on how to do product management and what are the different use cases that they are trying to deal with. So yeah, continuous reading and always seeking mentorship.
You know, and as someone who talks at conferences, runs a podcast, blogs, and wrote a book, I can highly endorse all of those approaches. And that concludes today's episode. So just to recap, if you want to focus on developing yourself this year, then maybe you can try journaling seeking inspiration from elsewhere, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, reading, or using a product framework to manage your goals. But there's one thing we haven't yet covered in this episode. So, Lily, let's do that. What is it that we do to get better? What do you do, Lily?
Oh, yeah, that is a good question. I mean, like you say, aside from all of the things that have been mentioned today, I think one of the things that I really intentionally try to do is practice. So very much like not just doing something once and then once and done, like that's the way I'm going to do it forever, but really trying to practice over and over again the things that are going to make me better at my job. How about you, Randy?
Aside from, you know, getting a chance to talk to brilliant people pretty much every week and asking them how to do the job better, the other thing I like to do is I like to put communities together and participate in them. And whether it's giving advice, getting advice, listening to other people give advice to each other and talk about their experiences, it's all fantastic. It's really inspirational. I get exposed to situations and things I never would have thought of otherwise. And it's really fantastic. And even when I'm stuck on something, if someone else talks about the same problem that I have, suddenly the answer is so much more obvious when it's happening to somebody else.
That's awesome. Thanks, Randy. We hope this episode has given you plenty of ideas to get started with improving your own product practice, and look forward to hearing all about it.
Yeah, let us know what you try. Let us know what works for you. And if you have any other advice, drop us a line. We'll see you next week.
The Product Experience is the first
and the best
podcast from Mind the Product. Our hosts are me, Lily Smith,
and me, Randy Silver.
Lou Ron Pratt is our producer and Luke Smith is our editor.
Our theme music is from Hamburg-based band POW, that's P-A-U. Thanks to Arnie Kittler, who curates both Product Tank and MTP Engage in Hamburg, and who also plays bass in the band, for letting us use their music. You can connect with your local product community via Product Tank, regular free meetups in over 200 cities worldwide.
If there's not one near you, maybe you should think about starting one. To find out more, go to mindtheproduct.com/product tank.